Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly. This is Alan Bishop, head alchemist at Spirits of French Lick. Be on the lookout for a brand new bottled and bond Solomon Scott rye whiskey, made from a mash composed of 65% rye, 35% corn, and 5% victory malt. This 5-year-old, 100-proof rye whiskey is a throwback to early 1800s style rye whiskeys in the Ohio Valley. Named after the legendary Daisy Spring Mill distillery owner, turned moonshiner Solomon Scott of Paoli, Indiana. Remember, drink responsibly and never drink and drive.
Drinking bourbon, sipping on scotch. We get a little wild, but it's sure fun to watch. We love what we do, we're drinking every brew. Man, we talk some shit, but we're telling the truth.
Kenny Fuller with our theme song from the Old Americana Band from Luca Mariano Distillery.
Woo! Yeah.
And today we'd like to welcome Seth Benheim from Broken Barrel Whiskey.
And yes, we have Roxy and Super Nash and Tiny and Whiskey.
Woo! All right, we are full. We're right from the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Still yes. Here, having fun. The third day, we're us and... I think they might be down.
The fourth day.
So we've been here all couple days. Yesterday we were trying to get Seth on for at least like Chris was working on it. And he was working on it for a long time. But yeah, glad
you guys were lined up across the field yesterday, weren't you? Yeah.
So Seth, let's just get right into it. It's like, give us how you got to Kentucky Bourbon Festival this year.
I'm not sure. Yeah, we were here last year, and we had a great time. This year they said we could sell bottles, so we ended up coming back with a few more people, and we're doing that, and it's been a blast.
Well, I think actually we met last year.
Yes.
I think that's where I first met you, at Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
And then
last year.
I think we saw each other briefly at the other event this summer, the barbecue one.
I talked to Logstill. Yeah, I was talking to the other guy that was
Mike. Mike's not here. Yeah. That's we have 3 mics now. A lot of mics. We need nicknames like y'all, Tiny. You guys got to give us some nicknames so we can
do that.
Right. Yeah,
but you need to look for. We were talking to Francesco Viola, and they're setting up shop in Danville, and you said you were coming down to look at whatever. So yeah, you got to find if there's a Mikesville, Kentucky, because all their employees are named Dan. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Even Ryan, it's Ryan Dan.
Yeah, he was talking about that. They had 3 or 4 Dans with them now in their family.
So there you go.
A lot of Chris's and a lot of Mikes with us that we work with. Those two names seem to be really popular.
Hey, Chris, did you hear that?
Yeah, very popular.
So, yeah, that's awesome. But your product is, what would you say, unique?
Very different.
On so many levels. You're still dealing with the wood aspect of it. But
yes,
I think it's a great concept. And over the summer, heard you guys before, I think it was after Bourbon Festival last year, you were on the Bourbon Road, and you guys were up touring. I think it was, were you with them, or was it
I get out here and work the market too. So, you know, Monday, Tuesday, you asked how we got here. Well, I came in Monday and ended up working in Louisville. Well, one of our mics was out in Owensboro. Our vice president was out in Lexington and Frankfurt. So we've been kind of covering the state, trying to get as much distribution of Broken Barrel as possible. So yeah, it's been a lot of work, and that's what took me out to go see the Bourbon Road, actually, and hang out with Mike and Jim. So
yeah, and that, they were just talking about it, and that's where I got a really good. Last year I got you got into detail.
Yeah, sometimes.
So on that, and it's just what you were doing. So go through the whole process of how it happened, and then also the stress aspect of relieving stress. How you guys?
So we have a different approach to bourbon whiskey than other Kentucky-based, you know, bourbons, or even, you know, bourbons from out of state. We take oak from used barrels, whether it's a used bourbon barrel, a used wine barrel, a Scotch barrel, a mezcal barrel. You name it, I've probably got my hands on it and smashed it with a sledgehammer. That's what we do. We take sledgehammers and we make a bit of a spectacle out of it, especially for the gram. We love to smash up barrels, and you know, I've had three guys smash one barrel. I've tried to smash two barrels with two hammers before, one in each hand. Left hand not so good at it, but yeah, we have absolutely the most fun probably of any whiskey company when it comes to our process. And the reason we have that process is we put a lot of information on our labels of our bottles, from our, you know, our lowest proof, which is our wine finish, all the way up to our cask strength and even our limited editions. They all say where the whiskey's from. We tell you the source. It's from Owensboro. It's from Green River Distilling. We've been working with them since before they were called Green River, even though they were originally Green River, and now they're back to being Green River. And then we take all that information, put it on the label, along with the mash bill of every whiskey and what we call the oak bill. So when we're putting those different barrel staves, full, whole, long staves from different barrels in combination and letting it further age and finish our whiskey, we call that the oak bill. We also put that on the label so people can kind of turn the bottle and say, hey, this one's got 40% French oak, 40% used bourbon barrels, 20% sherry cask. So that's something that we're doing. If you guys are Scotch drinkers, you would appreciate, and then as am I, that sherry's awesome. We all love sherry, and sherry makes Scotch super delicious. And so I'm a big fan of that, and we wanted to bring that to bourbon and rye from Kentucky. So
smash it. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, age, well.
Brings a whole new meaning to barrel mash.
Yeah, so the step-by-step would be distilling it, aging it for at least 2 years, so we can call them all straight bourbon, straight rye, straight American whiskey. We've done straight wheat whiskey. We don't call it straight, but we do have almost 4 years single malt we did. So we've done a little bit of everything, but all of them start like normal whiskey. Then we batch and blend different barrels of different years from the same distillery, put them all together into a tank or on a smaller level, a tote, or even a single barrel in a drum. Toss the staves into the whiskey that's been kind of blended, and then let that rest for a little bit longer.
All right, so you're tossing it into the tank or the drum, not back in. Now, have you done it where you put it back in the barrel with staves?
No, we don't open the barrels up and then we don't know any coopers, so we're not reconstructing any barrels. A lot of people, even like on podcasts, or YouTube videos, so talking about the brand. This is a detail that I think a lot of people either don't understand or just didn't pay close enough attention and get it wrong. We aren't using a barrel that has a bunch of different staves from different barrels and reconstructing. We aren't doing it. Maker's Mark uses new staves,
from ISC or
something like that. They'll use new staves and they'll lower that into the barrel. So a lot of people may be familiar with that concept. Yeah. But this is different. Again, used barrels, different than new staves. We don't have some scientific toast magic we're doing. We're just trying to find really good partners that can supply really good barrels and
work with them.
So then really nice, beautiful barrels that we can break to shit and smash them up and destroy them virtually. You know, so we get like people like, hey, you know, we got some barrels that they're not, they're kind of like not the best condition or shape, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, but that's okay. Yeah, yeah. Especially if it's a used bourbon barrel, for example.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's all right. You know, we'll take that. That's all right.
So
this one's got cracks in the side. Perfect. Oh, it's pre-broken.
I mean, that's kind of a cool thing that you're doing. So, like you said, they're doing perfect toast at Maker's Mark and brand new staves, dropping them back in. But you're basically smashing shit out of them. It's all mixing together and it's all going right in.
Yeah.
And you get different things. But by smashing it and promoting that, I really think then that carries on to what you're doing for the whiskey. You know what I mean? It's not a perfected thing that you're like, you know, trying to put, you know, reopen a barrel or drop it in. You're basically smashing it and putting it in. And it's kind of like, and then you put that on, you know, you put your logo out there. It's cool.
I was just wondering, we know that as a whole barrel, when you had put the spirit in there, that it needs temperature change to force that spirit into the staves and back, you know, and back out. But now as you break the staves up into pieces and float it in those tanks, now are those tanks, are they subjected to temperature change?
Oh, there are definitely swings. I mean, go into a bottling facility in the dead of summer at 4 o'clock and tell me it's
Out. That's what I was wondering. I didn't know if those I didn't know if those tanks were sitting in a temperature controlled area. Okay. No, but I mean, so they are still getting their temperature control changes, and also that it facilitates the
to go into the wood. We started in Nevada when we obviously came from the vodka side of the industry, and I had a vodka brand, still do. And so we were working out there. So our very first whiskey ever made, we actually just bought the barrels and sent them out of state until we could grow the brand to a certain, it was brand new. So we were trying to grow the brand and get the numbers up so that we could get to the minimums required to work out of Owensboro. So in 2020, about two, almost 3 years ago now, we started working with them, you know, grain to glass. And if you go out to Owensboro and do the tour and all that at Green River, you can probably walk by where our stuff is aging. It's like, there's a couple of different like buildings that they work out of, that one has a bunch of steel tanks, drums, totes. Some of that stuff's probably filled and aging with our oak bill, you know, going on that process. In there, and it's hot. It's very hot.
Yeah, cool.
Well, that's always
cool at night too.
What's, they always talk about. You know, I find it funny because they say heat and sunlight will wreck bourbon in a bottle, right? But then I'm going, last time I checked, warehouses where they store the bottles, you know, when they that stuff, they don't ship the bourbon in refrigerated semis.
No.
So, and then it goes to a warehouse, and I guarantee you most of the warehouse aren't, you know, then it comes to the air-conditioned store, but, you know, bourbon has, or whiskey has the ability to absorb the different heats, considering that's how it was made in the first place.
Yeah, it can withstand. I mean, I wouldn't leave a bottle of bourbon open in the sun for a month and expect it to not, you know, taste exactly the same, but definitely, as long as your bourbon's sitting in your house, you're pretty much going to be fine. It's not like wine where you don't want to leave wine. I believe it's 80 degrees for 3 hours is kind of a cutoff before you start to cook it.
Yeah.
So I think one of the only fights I've ever had with my wife was she turned the AC off for a weekend out of town, and we came back, and it was like 85 or 90 in the house, and I'm like, babe, just cooked all the wine. Like, what are you doing? You got wine in the house. You can't, you got to leave it at 78 if you have wine.
Yeah.
You can't really, you don't have a choice. And it's not, if it's not in a wine fridge, obviously, which it wasn't. So,
right.
Still find one of those bottles.
Usually the wine fridge has the stuff you're going to drink.
Yeah.
You know, not the stuff you have stored. And like, from California, it makes sense that.
We got a lot of wine. Yeah. We're wine drinkers. We drink everything. We drink rum, gin, tequila, mezcal, wine, beer, pretty much everything but IPAs, I would say. Probably not my number. That's probably the last on my list, but
yeah,
I'll drink it if it's hot enough and I'm thirsty. I'll drink an IPA.
Okay. So how did you get into this?
It all started with the vodka brand. Back in 2012, I quit my job and said, I'm going to start a vodka company. And set up shop in my grandmother's garage. She kind of put me up in there, and I was there for 2 years. No paycheck, nothing, just going in deeper and deeper into debt, trying to start a vodka brand. And then in 2015, I got some investors and started getting out of debt and getting paid, and you know, moved out of grandma's and out of my parents, and it's kind of switching between the two, and got my life started, you know?
Yeah.
I was all awesome. At the age of 24.
Wow.
So I'm 33 cool. now, so it's been 9.5 years, yeah.
Great.
That's
awesome.
I mean, those are the kind of, you know, it's funny because you got the brands that have, you know, the 1800s, and then they're talking about, you know, Elijah Craig, he started it.
Seventh generation.
Yeah, family, like whatever. Family, but, yeah. But at the same time, at one point,
they were
doing it out of their barn.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And they were 24, and it was, you know, so it's the same thing. Yeah. So then you're looking at the beginnings. Although, when everything goes down, we'll all be in the ground. But, you know, no, I mean, not from the point of history when it's all written.
It's
kind of cool.
It is fun. You know, it's something I hope. I hope my family, if this brand stays in the family and I can hold on to it. I love my family to work in this business and be a part of this industry. It's a phenomenal industry, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. Everybody's friendly. Everyone's out to help each other. It's collaborative. We don't, you know, I'm collaborating with another distillery now on a project, and we're gonna do some cool stuff. And you see, like, and, you know, I think one of the things that I've been saying about this year is 2022 is gonna be and has kind of been the year of collaboration. So whether it's you know, Heaven's Door and Red Breast, or Leopold's and Deco, or, you know, these combination products. I love seeing that. It's really, really fun. And so we're trying to do that with wineries, breweries, and distilleries. We kind of collaborate across the board.
It's really cool. The winery, I mean, the brewery gets the barrel, the bourbon barrel.
I'm okay.
Ages sure. the beer in the bourbon barrel, and then the bourbon company gets the barrel back and ages the bourbon in the barrel.
Oh, yeah. It's just back, like, and forth, it's, and yeah. back and forth and back
and
forth.
I've seen although that. That's not bourbon, it's whiskey, though. And I think with what's coming up, you know, as we keep going forward in this, especially with what's happening with the barrels, we're going to see more and more American whiskey, which is bourbon except for a used barrel or whatever. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of. That's still a market that's even barely touched.
Yeah, we're doing some American whiskeys that are not bourbons. That, you know, we had an 85% corn, 15% rye mash bill that was 7 year in a used barrel. Never saw a new charred oak. So, you know, way lighter than our younger stuff that's only 2 to 4 years old. So seeing the color differentiation.
Scotch,
the
one that
uses like a scotch. Yeah, you see a 10-12-year-old scotch, and it's super light.
Yeah. I mean,
how old is this expression?
2-4.
Yeah. You want to tell us about this?
Yeah, so you guys are
it
all
drinking. Drink like that.
Yeah, no, not that's all. The process. I'll pour a little bit.
It has just beautiful warm.
Yeah, you can pour it.
Oh, yeah.
Warm,
yeah, I've been drinking it already, so.
It's past noon.
There you go.
Yeah, it's our afternoon.
So this is our rye. We call this our heresy rye. And the story, the reason I brought this one over for the story of it is when we started, we sourced some bourbon, and then we started getting into the idea of let's take this and let's make it with a new distilling partner. And so the first couple of people we talked to, one of them actually said to us, well, you can't do that. That's kind of heresy to take barrels and smash them up and then put wood in the whiskey. It's the other way around. Whiskey goes in the wood, not wood in the whiskey. And I said, well, you know what? I don't want to do what everyone else is doing. I want to do it my way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, you know what? I like the name heresy. So we were working on the rye concept for year two, and we called it our heresy rye. So this is
they told you they can't do it.
Yeah, so this is
that the best when someone tells you can't do it?
They say no, and then you do it, and then you rub their face in it a little bit.
Like, damn delicious.
Yeah, damn delicious.
What an amazing
day.
Really,
yeah.
Nice.
This is master distiller is Jacob Call over at Green River. And this has got 95% rye, 5% malted barley, and the oak bill is the 40% French oak, 40% ex-bourbon barrels on the rye, and then 20% sherry. So there's a little sherry in there as well. So,
that's where those light fruits are coming through.
Like, so I'm not a fan of I always tell everybody this.
Over and over.
Rye, that are celery vegetable kind of, and then that type of rye.
Yeah.
But I like the chocolate mint. This isn't chocolate mint. This is just straight chocolate. I'm just picking up a ton of chocolate.
I get a little sherry on the nose too, though.
I get that. Well, more like a chocolate candy, like that, like.
See, and I get more just like a warm toast, some like bread.
It's milk dud on the front.
And then dark chocolate to me on the back with a little sherry on the finish.
Yeah, we get more sherry.
Our American single malt is. If you think this is chocolatey, you'll be melting, drowning in chocolate if you try our single malt.
So I have to go buy one of those.
We don't have any to sell, but we do have one here that you can taste.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, we were pouring some fun stuff at our booth. Yeah.
Yeah, but prior to, I was a Chardonnay drinker. Okay. I love to taste millions of different Chardonnays and. I like the oakier versions, but not too oaky so that they get kind of, bitter on the finish. So this has a really nice balance of
very well balanced.
A
little bit of spice, not so much that
that's the thing.
Fries you all the way down your esophagus.
It's
nice and warm and huggy, but
that light sherry just complements that.
But those
that
bright spicy notes in the palate are really nice.
Yeah. I could say honestly, this is one of the better ryes I've tasted. I'm not just saying because you're on the podcast.
I have a store I killed.
This is delicious.
This runs about $35 a bottle.
Wow,
that's a great price.
And it's 105 proof. 105 proof, 52.5.
I like the body. I mean, the mouthfeel is very,
yes, very. That's it. $35 a bottle.
Yeah, it's a very, very approachable price point.
Jeff's just doing the math in his head, see if he's got $35.
I don't.
On day three.
No, I got nothing left.
He's bourbon poor.
Yeah. We hear it from the boss.
Everybody's rye rich.
There you go. Coleman could get a $6 million loan from the bank. I could get a $35 from this
from
bank.
From the Roxy?
Yeah.
The bank of Roxy?
Yeah.
You might not like the terms.
I'll think about it.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to get out?
I definitely hope everyone listening has a chance to sign up for our mail letter. That's where all the news about new releases, us, where we're going to be, what events we're going to be at. Maybe there's something we're doing. We were at the Wisconsin Whiskey Festival two nights ago.
Bourbon on the Banks?
Bourbon on the Banks. Like if you want to get updates to where we're going to be, sign up for the newsletter on our website.
You're going to Bourbon on the Banks, right?
It's BrokenBarrelWhiskey.com, and then also follow us at Broken Barrel Whiskey. We also make tons of announcements. Check our stories. I don't always post a photo or a video necessarily, but I always put up, I can get a story out real fast all day long. So we get stories up that have a lot of information, links, where to buy certain items. If you're looking for some of the rarer, more obscure releases like our Honey Smoke or our Luciferous Single Malt, which are two of our most recent releases for this quarter. And then we'll have a couple more coming out in the fourth quarter. That's what's going on. So check us out, follow us. We look forward to making new friends, new fans, and drinking with more people.
Yes, absolutely.
We loved having you on. It's been a while. We've been talking about it. I've tasted.
I'm on number two and it's gone.
So www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Check us out for all things that are Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Then also we are on all social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
It's good rye. When
check out our store so you can get some great carrying glasses, t-shirts, other swag.
Yeah. So
this is. I'll be honest. The process sounds weird to me, but this is delicious.
It sounds.
Trust the process.
That's right.
I mean, you should see. I've been listening to different
Just go watch the smashing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the smashing.
Watch.
Makes you want to just smash.
So when he played on this one, they're at the point where they're doing but he played the smashing down. I mean, they're into the smashing.
Yes. You can kind of hear, like, the unofficial anthem of ours is probably, like, Limp Bizkit Break Stuff or something like that. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's kind of the vibe. If I had to explain it in a song, it would be Break Stuff. Like, going strong. Exactly. So but that's our brand, that's our vibe.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
very cool.
Awesome vibe.
And we'll let little Steve-O take us out.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for coming on.
Yes.
I'm empty. Yes. Oh, show me the way to the next
really good.
Whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh,
the long reach from the outside.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why.
That's good.
For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.